Is there anything that you need today? Have you come here this morning in need of something? I don't know what it is for you. Maybe your need is patience. Maybe it's strength. Maybe you need more time. Maybe you need help in a certain area. Maybe it's wisdom. Maybe it's a financial need. Do you have a need this morning? Are you in need of something? Well, you may be saying, will Jesus meet my need? Let's look at it together. Turn with me to Mark chapter 8. Let's learn about this. Will Jesus meet that need that you have today? Mark chapter 8. We're going to look at verses 14 through 21. And if you're new at this, that's right toward the back part of your Bible. Maybe two-thirds through, you'll come to the New Testament. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Mark chapter 8. Verses 14 to 21, it says this. The disciples had forgotten to bring bread except for one loaf they had with them in the boat. Be careful, Jesus warned them. Watch out for the yeast of the Pharisees and that of Herod. They discussed this with one another and said, it is because we have no bread. Aware of their discussion, Jesus asked them, why are you talking about having no bread? Do you still not see or understand? Are your hearts hardened? Do you have eyes but fail to see and ears but fail to hear? And don't you remember when I broke the five loaves for the 5,000, how many basketfuls of pieces did you pick up? 12, they replied. And when I broke the seven loaves for the 4,000, how many basketfuls of pieces did you pick up? They answered, 7. He said to them, do you still not understand? Pray with me. Oh, Father, we need to hear your voice this morning. Lord, there are many needs. And Lord, we need to hear what you have to say about it. Speak to us, Lord. Speak to us through your word. Get me out of the way. Let us hear your voice and your message to each of us, Lord Jesus. We pray these things in your name. Amen. Will Jesus meet your needs? Well, let's learn a lesson here from the disciples on this boat. They have one loaf of bread with them. They don't have enough. They forgot the bread. They've got one loaf with them. And they have this interaction. They have this conversation with Jesus. Well, let's learn from them. Let's learn a lesson from them. The first thing we need to learn from the disciples here is remember, he is beside you. And that's our B. I'm going to take the word bread, B-R-E-A-D, in an attempt to help you remember. And that's our first letter. That's our B. Remember, he is beside you. Look at verse 15 and 16. Jesus said, be careful, Jesus warned them. Watch out for the yeast of the Pharisees and that of Herod. They discussed this with one another and said, it is because we have no bread. They had forgotten who they were with. They were with Jesus Christ. They were with the one who could walk on water, the one that could raise the dead. They were with God in the flesh. As the scripture tells us, Emmanuel, God with us here on the earth for a time. God in a human body. They were right there with him. They were beside God in the person of Jesus Christ. They forgot. They didn't realize who they were with. They forgot this power. They were like the boy that, and sometimes we're like this. Sometimes you're like this. Sometimes I'm like this. Like the boy that was playing in the sand at the beach and he was making all these tracks for his cars, and he had a nice road system going there, and the city was being formed. And then he realized there's a big rock right in the center of where all the tracks needed to go. And so he began to try to move that rock, but it was too big for him. It was a huge rock, and he began to push it and push it, and all he could do is get it up just a little bit, and it would fall back down. And his dad was just sitting right beside him, just sitting in the sun, reading a book, watching his son play a little bit. And the boy kept pushing, and he'd go around another side, and he'd push, and he'd push, and he couldn't get that rock to move. And he finally just gave up. He finally just sat down and cried. And then his dad walked over and said, "Why didn't you use all the help you had?" And his dad just moved the rock out of the way. You see, the boy forgot who he was with. And sometimes you forget who you're with. Sometimes I forget. The disciples forgot who they were with. Sometimes we forget that the promise is ours, that God said to Moses, "My presence will go with you, and I will give you rest." He is with you. Sometimes we forget. Sometimes we forget that Jesus said, "Never will I leave you." That the Scripture tells us in Hebrews, "Never will I leave you. Never will I forsake you." So we may say with confidence, "The Lord is my helper. I will not be afraid. What can man do to me?" That He'll never leave us. That Jesus said in Matthew 28, "And lo, I will be with you always to the end of the age." He's always with you. He'll never leave you. Sometimes we forget. And so first of all, remember He is beside you. Secondly, the second thing we can learn from the disciples here is in verse 17. And that is to pray for a receptive heart. That's our R, receptive. Pray for a receptive heart. In verse 17, it says, aware of their discussion, Jesus asked them, "Why are you talking about having no bread? Do you still not see or understand? Are your hearts hardened?" Jesus called them out. "Do you not understand? Do you not see?" Of course, Jesus had just multiplied many loaves of bread. He had just fed 4,000 people, and then there were seven with a few loaves, and then there were seven basketfuls left over. Jesus could make as much bread as they needed. He was right there with them. And they're talking about, "Well, we don't have enough bread. It's probably because we don't have enough bread." And so Jesus says, "Why are you talking about that? Do you still not see or understand? Are your hearts hardened?" Well, what does he mean, "are your hearts hardened"? Well, take this statement to the bank. This is true. Hard hearts go hand in hand with hindered hearing. Hard hearts go hand in hand with hindered hearing. If your heart is hard, you're not going to hear the Lord. You won't hear His voice. You won't hear God speak to you if your heart is hard. It's not that He's not speaking to you. He's always speaking to you. He is constantly giving you just many things that He is telling you, just showering you with His voice. But if our heart is hard, we won't hear it. We won't hear any of it. Depends on how hard our heart is. Hard hearts go hand in hand with hindered hearing. The Scripture tells us in Hebrews, today, not sometime, maybe one day, maybe in the past, maybe you heard His voice so many years ago. No, the Scripture says, today, if you hear His voice, do not harden your hearts, as in the rebellion. Today, every morning that you wake up, that's a new promise. It's for today. Every time you wake up, 10 days from now, it's today. Today, today, if you hear His voice. God is saying today, if you hear His voice. Every day He's speaking to you, constantly, all the time. He's bombarding you with things that He's telling you. Do you hear Him? Maybe your heart's hard. Can you hear Him? Do you hear Him speak to you? Today, if you hear His voice, do not harden your hearts as in the rebellion. In Hebrews 3, verses 12 and 13, listen to this. See to it, brothers, that none of you has a sinful, unbelieving heart that turns away from the living God. But encourage one another daily, as long as it is called today, so that none of you may be hardened by sin's deceitfulness. Do you have a hard heart today? You see, the truth is, the softer our hearts, the more we'll hear God. The softer your heart, the more you hear. And the more receptive and open your heart, the softer your heart, the more you'll hear God's voice. That's how it goes. Jesus said in Matthew 5:8, "Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God." Do you see God? Do you see Him everywhere you look? "Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God." Is your heart pure? Well, what does that mean? Well, you can't make it pure. Don't sit back and say, "Well, no, mine's not pure. I haven't been good enough." No, you're not the one that makes it pure, but God can make it pure. Jesus can make it pure. If you just acknowledge your sinfulness, if you just repent of your sins and acknowledge and realize and admit how sinful you are, and then turn to the one who died for all your sins, and then turn to the Savior that God has provided for you. If you turn from yourself and what you believe and your ways, and you just, that's repenting, and you turn to Him and say, "Lord, have mercy on me. I'm a sinner. Come into my life. Save me. Help me to follow you." When we do that, He purifies our hearts. By our faith in Jesus, He removes all of our sin. He takes all of our sin that is red like crimson and like scarlet, and He makes it as white as snow. He purifies us. He gives us the righteousness of Christ. You can never be good enough, but Jesus was perfect. And the moment you repent of your sins and put your faith in Jesus, then God puts you in Christ, and He looks at you, and he no longer sees you and your sinfulness. It was removed. He saw that on the cross, and He saw it paid for, and He saw the punishment taken. He poured out His wrath on your sins already on the cross, and they're gone, and He's removed them. And not only does He not see your sin anymore when you're in Christ and you put your faith in Him, but He also sees the righteousness of His Son. You're now in Christ, and He gives you the righteousness of Christ. He imputes, as the theologians tell us, He imputes His righteousness to you. It becomes yours. And then when He looks at you, it's nothing you've done. You haven't been good. But He sees the righteousness of His own Son. And He's the one who gives you a new heart. You become a new creation. And so now you have a pure heart. And Jesus said, "Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God." Now, of course, we can mess up and sin, and then we can cloud that vision. And what do we need to do? Just 1 John 1:9. Write it down, 1 John 1:9. Once you're already a believer, that's all you need to do. Just confess it. As soon as you realize you messed up, that's God pointing it out to you, the Holy Spirit points it out to you, just confess it just like that. "God, I'm sorry. You're right. I shouldn't have said that. I shouldn't have done that. I shouldn't have thought that." And all of a sudden, He cleanses you. He purifies you from all unrighteousness. That heart is pure again. You will see God again. And so this pure heart will see God. This soft, this tender, this receptive heart will hear God's voice. There's a great example of it. Somebody like this. I read it this morning just in my daily read the Bible through in a year. In Matthew chapter 8. There's a centurion, and he's over all these soldiers, and he's got one back where he's from, and his soldier is paralyzed and suffering. And so he comes and he finds Jesus, and he says, "Listen, Lord, my servant, he's paralyzed, he's suffering. He needs your healing." Jesus says, "Come on, let's go." Jesus is ready to go on over there, and the man says, Oh Lord, I'm not worthy to have you come under my roof. Just say a word, he'll be healed." He says, "I do that. I say a word and all these men come. I say this, they go do that. Lord, I know, you know, if you just say the word, he'll be healed. You don't have to go all the way over there." You know what it says? It says Jesus was astonished at this man's faith. And he commented on this faith. He said, "I have not seen faith like this in all of Israel." And that impressed him. That pleased him. Faith is what pleases God. And you see, that centurion, he had a soft, receptive heart, a pure heart, and his faith was so strong that he just said, "Oh, just say a word, Lord, it'll be done." And it was done. We need to be like that. Pray. Pray for that. Pray for a receptive heart, one that is ready to believe. Well, next, pray for spiritual eyes to see and ears to hear. Pray for spiritual eyes to see and ears to hear. So remember, He's beside you. Pray for a receptive heart. And now pray for spiritual eyes is your E. Pray for spiritual eyes to see and ears to hear. Look at verse 18 in the first part. "Do you have eyes but fail to see," Jesus says, "and ears but fail to hear?" What about you? Would Jesus say that to you this morning? Do you have eyes to see and ears to hear? These eyes of faith, these ears of faith. It's just like Elisha in 2 Kings chapter 6. You can check that out in your own time. But Elisha, God's prophet at that time, he was with his servant and all the enemy, these Arameans, had surrounded the city. They were at Dothan, not our Dothan, but they were at another Dothan. And all these Arameans had come and surrounded the city ready to get Elisha, ready to capture Elisha, God's prophet. And they surrounded the city with all these chariots and these horses. Well, Elisha's servant in the morning woke up and went outside and, "Oh my goodness," came back and, "The city's been surrounded. We're surrounded by chariots and horses." And Elisha said, "Oh, don't worry about it. The numbers that are with us outnumber the ones that are on our side, outnumber the ones on their side." And then Elisha prayed that God would open his servant's eyes. Elisha prayed that God would give him spiritual eyes to see and the spiritual ears to hear. He prayed that God would open his eyes, and then God did. God opened the servant's eyes. And then when he looked out, he saw all these chariots of fire, God's armies that were far outnumbering the enemy, because now he could see. He had the spiritual eyes to see. Do you have the spiritual eyes to see? Pray for that. Pray for that. God, open my eyes. In John 14:21, Jesus said this: "Whoever has my commands and obeys them, he is the one who loves me. He who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I too will love him and show myself to him." If we have and obey his commands, if we love him, then he'll show himself to us. You see, we can't see at first, but he will. If we follow him, if we have that soft, receptive heart, if that is our desire, then he will reveal himself to us. He'll show himself to us. We can have those eyes to see. Pray for the eyes to see and the ears to hear. David had these. David encountered this Philistine warrior, this giant Goliath, and nobody would get near this Philistine warrior. He kept taunting God's armies, and David finally stood up to him and said, I'll go out there. Just this boy, small guy, this 9-foot warrior, the best fighter for the Philistines, the enemy. And David goes to approach him. Why? How could David do that? Because he had eyes to see and ears to hear. You see, David said to that Philistine warrior, he said, "You come at me with spear and sword and javelin. I come at you in the name of the Lord my God, the God of Israel, whom this day will give you into my hand." You see, nobody else could see it. And the only thing they could see is this warrior and his sword and his javelin. But you see, David had spiritual eyes and spiritual ears. He saw the God of the universe with him. He saw his weapon as the God of the universe. David didn't say, "I'm going to go defeat this giant." David knew, "Me and, yeah, you're big enough, God. Me and you are about to go wipe this guy out."
David had eyes to see and ears to hear. Do you have eyes to see? Do you have ears to hear? Next, we need to pray about. You need to pray about your area of need. There's your A. Pray for your area of need. In verse 14 and in verse 16, we see this. Verse 14, the disciples had forgotten to bring bread, except for one loaf they had with them in the boat. And then in verse 16, they discussed this with one another and said, "It is because we have no bread." That was their need. That was their area of need. It was bread. What is your area of need? When I asked the question at the very beginning, do you have a need today? Is there any need in your life? Are you in need of anything? What is it? Their area of need was bread. What is your area of need this morning? What is your problem today? What are you facing today? Well, finally, you need to listen to Jesus. You need to hear what He says in verses 19 through 21. He gives them the example of what He's already done. That He can multiply the bread. Their area of need was bread. He's already mentioned what he's already done with it. He can multiply it. And then He said to them, "Do you still not understand? Do you still not understand?" Your D stands for Jesus' statement there. It also stands for depend on Him. Depend on Him. Listen to Jesus this morning. Whatever your area of need, hear Him this morning. Ask you, do you still not understand? You have this need. Do you realize that I can do anything? Do you have a receptive heart? Do you still not understand? And then you and I, you just need to trust Him and go. You need to trust Him and go. Trust Him and do it. He can meet it. Whatever your need, whatever your concern, whatever your problem, will Jesus meet my needs? Yes. 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 Look to Him and not yourself. Look to Him and don't look to anybody else or anything else. Look to Him and realize, remember, bread, remember, He is beside you. Pray for a receptive heart. Pray for ears and eyes to see and hear. Pray for your area of need and hear Him say, "Don't you understand?" Depend on Him. In summary, no bread is no problem for Jesus. And you need to insert your need there. You need to say this morning, no, whatever. You put your need in there. No, your need, no problem. It's no problem for Him. Well, I don't know what your need is this morning. Maybe your need is Jesus. Maybe your greatest need is that you're still in your sins. Maybe your greatest need is that you don't have this personal relationship with Him yet. That you don't know Him. You see, He said that not everyone who says to me, "Lord, Lord," shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but only he who does the will of my Father. And then it says that the people will cry out and they'll say, "Well, Lord, we did," I'm paraphrasing, "but we did this in your name," and that last day they'll say, "I did this in your name, and I did this, and I did this." And He said those sobering words. He said, "I will look at them and I will say, depart from me. I never knew you." You see, it's all about knowing Him. It's all about a personal relationship with Him. Do you have that? Do you know Him? All you have to do is admit your sin. Realize, believe that He died for it, that He took your punishment, that He's raised from the dead. And then call on Him. Believe that and then personally. Not anybody else's faith, not mom or daddy's faith or anybody else. God doesn't have any grandchildren, but it's going to Him and just saying, "Jesus, I know myself. I see my sin. I know my sinfulness. I thank You that You died for me. I'm amazed. You already paid for all my sins. Wow. Thank You for doing that. I,
words can't describe. Thank you. I believe you're raised from the dead. And now I'm just coming to you with all that I am, all I know how. I give you my life, Jesus. I call on you. Would you save me? Would you have mercy on me? Come into my life. You just call out to him. And he says, everyone who calls upon the name of the Lord will be saved. You know what will happen? That prayer will happen that somebody just prayed, that Sid just prayed. But if you don't know him yet, you will. You can leave here knowing him. Just call out to him. I'm going to say a prayer in a moment, and you call out to him. And if that's your greatest need this morning, when you call out to him in just a moment, Chris is going to lead us in an invitation hymn. And you just step out of your seat and you just come down. You let us know. Let us know that. We want to rejoice with you. Nobody ever followed Jesus privately. You don't do that. You publicly follow Jesus. And I don't know what your other need is, but maybe you just need to pray during this invitation time. Maybe you just need to have some time with the Lord at your seat and you need to pray. Maybe you need to come up to the altar and you need to bow before the Lord and you need to pray about it. Maybe you've realized this is where you need to be. This is your church home. And you feel God pulling you and nudging you and saying, this is where I want you. Plug in. Join the church. You can come and you can do that during this invitation. Chris, you can come. Chris is going to come and lead us in this song. Whatever decision you need to make, you make that decision.